Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, it's so good to be back here for a Sunday special with you. How are you? What's going on?
I'm great. I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today.
We do. I'm always excited when we have an expert on, a professional, because you and I, we're really just talking. We don't know anything. We're just talking out of our asses on a daily basis and just trying to be vulnerable and empathetic and really answer all these questions. But today we are joined by an actual doctor who's going to help us talk about, you know, the stuff going on in men's pants. And I like that. He's a urologist and he is located in Midtown Manhattan. You can follow him on Instagram at Dr. J. Kamenetsky. Dr. Kamenetsky, thank you for coming on.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to be here with you virtually, of course. If you could explain kind of what you do and who you see, just for our listeners, who do you help the most? That's, I think, a good place to start for us.
Well, most of our patients are men. We see men and women. My practice specializes in men's health. So we see a lot of sexual dysfunction, low testosterone, erectile problems, premature ejaculation, all sorts of things. First time I ever saw something was when I spoke to you last time. And you told me some guy urinated in his girlfriend's mouth when he had an orgasm. So
I remember that one.
So, yeah, you've become our counsel. We kind of go to you for, hey, what's the deal here? And what in that situation is what do you have to say about that? Is that possible to pee while you're erect?
Well, it's possible to pee while you're erect. It's a little unusual to pee while you're having an orgasm during a blowjob. I mean, I guess, you know, women do have ejaculate. Some people question if it's urine, or there is definitely maybe some urine in there. But that was a first, I must say. I've been doing this for a long time. That was the first time I had ever heard that.
I have a question about your practice in general, and just like, I mean, we get a lot of questions about erectile dysfunction, or a lot of women dealing with men who are either dating or sleeping with that have those kinds of issues. Do you feel like there's a big stigma around a lot of men where they don't really feel comfortable talking about it, or it's sort of like a hidden thing, and that maybe they'll only talk to you about, or even hesitant to talk to people at your practice about?
You know, things have changed a lot over the years. So, you know, Viagra was first approved 15, 18 years ago. And so the whole concept of erectile dysfunction has changed. So now guys can go online and buy this stuff. It's generic. So I think it's a little less of a stigma attached to it. But yeah, I think a lot of guys are still embarrassed. It's very common. So, you know, a lot of your viewership are younger adults. And I'm seeing more and more young guys with ED. The last time I saw this many young guys with ED was in 2008 during the financial crisis. So stress plays a part.
You think it's due to like the kind of like the current like world situation, pandemic, political stuff? Like, do you feel like that is kind of added to this emergence of men who are having more issues?
Yeah, the men can't get it up. Yes, I think. Absolutely. You know, the quarantine on a lot of different levels. So guys are sitting around. They're not as active. People have gained weight. People are stressed. So what does stress do? Stress increases the adrenergic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, and that causes blood vessels to constrict. So what do you need to have an erection, you need more blood flow. So stress, anxiety do the opposite. So they are erection killers.
This is interesting because, you know, we have so many people and we have a lot of women that listen, and the women kind of do this thing where they're like, is it me? Am I the problem? And I mean, based on what you're saying, you know, an erection isn't, you know, serving, it's not serving chocolate, it's baking a cake. It sounds like it's like 30 different things that go into it.
And it sounds like it's in large part mental.
Well,
rather than physical.
It can, you know, certainly can be both. It's and the mental affects the physical, right? So ultimately it's a lack of blood flow. And in many cases, particularly in younger men, it's stress or anxiety. So, you know, a lot of guys going back to quarantine and what's going on, they may be sitting at home a lot. They may be masturbating more. They may be watching porn. So a lot of, you know, young guys get sort of, I don't know, porn addiction. It may be a strong word, but habituated to porn, the imagery they see these, you know, fake looking people, they see these guys with enormous penises, they, you know, and they feel insecure and their girlfriends don't look like porn stars or act like porn stars. So, you know, it plays on their mind.
Are these men, when the men come in to you, is it usually them on their own? Is it with encouragement from their significant other? Are they like walking in like their mom bringing them into school? I wonder this because, you know, we're going to get to the question that we have from a listener, but we do get a lot of similar questions. Like, how does someone encourage their partner? Should we go to the email first? Cause this is kind of on the subject.
Yeah. Well, let's read the email and then, I think we can talk about the broader issue of play here too. Yeah.
Let's go to the email because I think we could talk this out.
Yeah.
All right. So a female listener writes in. She said, "Hi, J&J. Love the podcast and have shared it with all my friends. My boyfriend and I have been together since April. Everything is going perfectly in our relationship. We have great communication and similar life goals and values. There's one major issue. He has trouble keeping himself hard. We have only had sex a handful of times since the beginning of our relationship because of this. I've tried to talk to him about this several times, but he naturally gets defensive, says it's just in his head and to give him time. Once I brought up the idea of trying erectile dysfunction medication, and the answer was a flat no and ended with us both upset. He does an amazing job at always making sure I'm taken care of when we can't have sex, but it's not the same emotional connection I am wanting. It's also making me feel undesired as his girlfriend. I understand how sensitive this topic is, so I'm not sure if I should push it more or give him space. I don't want him to feel badly about it, but I need him to understand how it affects me as well. Appreciate any advice you have. Just wanting the D."
So, Dr. Kamenetsky, what do you think of this situation?
Well, the first thing, this started in April. He wants more time. I mean, it's been five months.
Yeah, he's had some time.
He's had some time. So if this fellow walked into my office and told me he's got a girlfriend, he's into her, but he can't keep it up. So the first thing I would want to know, is this happened with prior partners? You wake up in the morning with a hard on, because that tells me that the hydraulics, the blood flow is working. You know.
So hold on, explain that. Now I'm just asking questions for myself. What? Waking up with a boner, what does that mean?
Well, you know, that's a normal, healthy thing. Men wake
yes.
up.
Yes. Okay. No. I'm getting my doctor's appointment right now via this podcast.
No, if someone doesn't wake up with a hard-on, it doesn't mean they have a problem. But
okay.
If you do wake up with an erection, that tells me right off the bat that, you know, you have decent blood flow. It's most likely psychological. The other thing I'm going to ask him along those lines is what happens when you masturbate. So if you're masturbating and you get perfectly normal erections, well, that too tells me then it's psychological.
Interesting.
So I like to see, you know, what's the best under whatever circumstances things work. So if it's masturbating, that tells me, you know, things are pretty much physically normal. Then I'd say, you know, do you masturbate to porn? So if this guy's, you know, masturbating three times a week or four times a week, the pornography, and he can't get it up or keep it up with his girlfriend, well, you know, maybe there's a relationship issue. Maybe he's addicted to porn. You know, maybe, you know, he's just anxiety, you know, stress. So those are the things I'd want to know. And, you know, this woman is, you know, trying to, you know, work things out. It's, you know, what I would tell her to do is to discuss this with him, but outside of the bedroom. Like, don't discuss it after you've had sex and he lost his erection, because he's very defensive and, you know, not want to talk about it. And he's feeling
vulnerable,
shitty about it. Yeah. So talk about it, you know, at another time when there's no pressure, you know, maybe have a drink, you know, you're relaxed. You know, and maybe she should frame it, say, hey, you know, honey, you make me feel so good. You turn me on so much. I love sex, but it could be better. You know, let's try to make it better, you know, so try
just more of it. Right. Like, cause no, she's saying they've only had sex a handful of times since April. So yeah, like I'm looking for a relationship that features more sexual.
Yeah.
Right?
I want more intimacy. You know, it feels so good when you do it. I want to do it, you know, more. Yeah. So, but you know, that guy, yeah. So a guy like this, maybe, I'm not sure what the problem is, but yeah, he would benefit from Viagra or Cialis. I mean, these drugs are generic now. They're cheap.
But I think those are very comforting questions that you just prompted, right, Jordana? Don't you think? Like even asking those questions, like, are you waking up with a hard on? Like, let's start with that.
For her to ask?
Yeah, or for her to, like... No,
for her to gauge, like, sort of in her own, well, yeah, I think it's like her issue is I thought your suggestion to talk about it outside the bedroom was great, because I think her issue is that, like, she's bringing it up to him, he doesn't want to talk about it because it probably is a very sensitive subject for him. I would guess it's happened before for him and probably just doesn't really want to, like, deal with it. So I think that discussing it outside the bedroom thing is a great idea. And I also think if you're with a partner who can't discuss that, or even, I mean, like, you know, allow you to have the conversation, I think that's a bigger issue in itself than even the erectile dysfunction in question.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that.
If someone is coming to you with the mental problem, I mean, you're not prescribing them stuff, right? How do you turn someone away like that?
Yeah, no, if it's psychologic, I'm going to give him, I'm going to put him on medicine. So if someone comes to see me and he can't get it up, when he leaves my office, he's going to be able to get it up that night. That's my goal.
You should put that above the door
guaranteed.
Of the doctor's. Boner's guaranteed.
Guaranteed boner. That's what he's coming to me for. So there's two issues here. There's the why. And there's the what are we going to do about it? So the what are we going to do about it? It's easy. We got all these great drugs that are readily available. They're safe. They're inexpensive now. So, yeah, if it's like, and look, if he's taking this medicine and he's getting, a good erection, he's going to feel better about himself. He's going to want to have sex. And then maybe he won't need it. So, you know, I sort of analogize this to the, a teenager walks around with a condom in his pocket for 12 years, five years, never has sex, just so he's ready. Walk around with that Viagra pill in your pocket and, you know, sort of give you that confidence. So, one of the old Viagra commercials was, when the moment is right, you'll be ready. So just knowing that.
Well, also for their relationship, this is a woman writing in about her boyfriend. If he's not willing to, like, kind of make that step or go at least speak to a professional like yourself, then he's avoiding another issue in the relationship. We would have to assume, well, if you're not willing to fix that, then what about this? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it starts other conversations.
It's not fair to her. And look, she's thinking, is it me? You know, so that's not fair. She's feeling insecure about the whole thing when it's, you know, it's his problem. and it's affecting both of them.
Right. Do you ever have an issue? And this is just something. I mean, are there any men who come to you and they're reluctant to actually take medication? I would imagine, especially if they're younger, just being like, I don't want to feel like I have to. They almost think of it as like a failure, or like I don't want to have to like feel like I need this in order to get an erection, or I don't have to depend on this to get an erection. Do you ever get that feedback?
Yeah, a lot. You know, people say to me, am I going to have to take this for the rest of my life, or am I going to become dependent on this? And basically what I tell them, let's not worry about the rest of your life. Let's worry about this weekend. Let's, get it to work this weekend, and we'll worry about the rest of your life later.
Because Dr. K, you're the party doctor. They come to you. You're like, let me get you. I'm going to get you out of here with wood, no matter what. I like your attitude.
Well, I've been called Dr. Love more than once.
My God. Let's worry about this weekend. Let's worry about Saturday night. Let's worry about getting you to the clubs. Yeah, I get it. I mean,
doesn't that make sense? You know, the other thing, going back to this guy, that just when you mentioned the clubs, is this guy, is he drinking? You know, a lot of guys, when they have alcohol, particularly if they're stressed, they may drink a little to calm their nerves, and one or two drinks is fine. But if you're drinking too much, it's going to affect your ability to have an erection. And I think some guys drink to excess just to have a built-in excuse, because they're worried about not getting it up. So that's another thing I would talk to them about. But these drugs are not habit-forming. They're not. You don't become dependent upon them. And, lots of guys, once they get comfortable some guys may be in a new relationship, they have a problem. And once they get to know the person, they don't. So, it goes all, runs the gamut. But I don't think there should be no shame about taking these medicines.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
I had another question. What about I've seen this before too, and I've experienced this. What about men who maintain an erection for a very long time, but like can't seem to come, but they're erect just for a very long time, but like it's just not happening for them? Is that like an issue or is problem, or is that sort of like a moment by case by case scenario?
And also, let's hit on the other side of that. Also, guys who go too soon, yeah. I'm asking for a friend.
Snoop Dogg, right? Anyway, yeah. So that's a more common problem, Jared. They're coming too soon. And that's, you know,
thank God.
As a company excluded, but, yeah, so that's obviously more common, and that's also could be very frustrating to a relationship and to the woman. You know, women think the guy's being selfish or being, you know, when they come too quickly. But some guys just, that, you know, that also goes back to masturbation. So I would ask, you know, how do you masturbate? Do you do it, you know, most guys start masturbating when they're little kids and they're doing it real quick, you know, so their mother doesn't walk in. So that's how they learn to come. But we have treatments for that. We use this spray that's really good. It's called Promescent. People can get it online. It doesn't need a prescription. It gives a little numbing to the penis. It doesn't cause numbness to the woman. We have all different treatments.
Can you spell that for the listeners?
For the listeners.
Promescent, and it's at promescent.com. Okay. We use some of the antidepressant medicines to slow guys down. We even did Manhattan Medical Research is my research wing. We even did a study, didn't work out, injecting Botox into the penis for premature ejaculation. So,
And all that did was make the penis go on The Real Housewives for one last season.
Right. But so that's a huge problem. That's more common than ED. Premature.
What about
the ladle?
Yeah, what about the can't stop pumping?
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's a more difficult problem to treat. So, again, I go back to say, you know, what happens when you masturbate? If you, you know, are you masturbating with pornography? So, you know, we see this is obviously a more common problem with women that have trouble climaxing. And I address it pretty much the same way I would address with a woman. So how do you come? Is there any way? Is there a position that's easier? Is it with manual stimulation? Is it with, you know, video pornographic stimulation, and try to incorporate that into sex. I mean, sometimes we see it in guys who are trying to get their wife pregnant, but really don't want to have a baby. And, you know, psychologically they, you know, can't bring themselves to climax.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Most guys also can't get it up.
The penis doesn't want to have a baby.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah.
It's so interesting, the psychological, how so much of this is like psychological and about, you know, to me, it seems like a lot of the listeners who write in about these kinds of issues, it's like it's very tied to like a man feeling like tying his sexual abilities or his sexual performance to his masculinity and in some ways to their own self-worth. I feel like that's deeply societally ingrained. So this makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Guys are very, you know, connected with their penises and their sexuality and their performance. It gives the whole sense of sort of self and, as you said, masculinity.
Right. Have you seen any sort of, like, I know you said there's been a lot more recent younger men coming to you. Do you feel like kind of like the changing gender roles and the way that, like, you know, expectations of men and women have changed over the years, whether that's like earning abilities or just like general, you know, general changing gender norms? Has that changed the amount of people or the type of people that are coming in?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, women, I think women who work and are, you know, out in the, you know, earning money are more sort of demanding and expect more out of life. And, you know, it's, I think, got people like yourselves who are spreading a forum for people to talk about sexuality and pleasure and, you know, empower women to expect more, as they should. And, you know, there are going to be some men who feel some pressure. And so, yeah, I think that all these gender roles play a huge part.
It's also interesting. It's also, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys don't feel the right to even complain, you know, where they're like, you know, I just in this kind of, you know, men are kind of like talk about these things very flippantly. And then when it comes to get serious about it, it's like, well, you've been joking about it your whole life. So why should you get to have any say in this, you know, or take it seriously now?
You know, it's tough on guys. You know, guys can't fake it, right? So yeah. If a woman's not that into it, she could, you know, go through the motions. A guy, you know, you got to get hard on. You know, if you have a hard on, you can hang your hat on it. If you don't, you know, it's limp, and, you know, there's nothing worse than a limp penis, right?
That's how men run into Dr. K's office. You got to help me, man. I got to get a hard on. I can't be limp like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. It's like very, it's much easier for women to avoid the conversation of, like, you know, if they're not coming, they can fake it. Or it's just, I feel like it's not necessarily as much of a stigma in that way. So they can either talk about it and it's less weird, or they can much more easily avoid that conversation than men can.
And also, a lot of women can go, better luck next time. You know, like, even when you fake it, like, there's no, it's a one shot deal with a guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I saw a guy today, just 2 hours ago, a new patient. He was a 35-year-old healthy guy, never had a problem with his erections. And 2 weeks ago, he couldn't get it up. And since then, he couldn't get it up. And he's freaking out. And I said, you know, I said, calm down. I said, there's nothing wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. This is, you know, you couldn't get it up, you know, once. And now it's in your head. You know, so I put this guy, you know, gave this guy a prescription for something, and, you know, he's going to be fine. And he said the same thing. You know, am I going to have to be this on this my whole life? Are you sure there's nothing seriously wrong with me? You know, I said, everybody loses their erection at some time or another. You either obsess about it, or you just, you know, write it, you know, say, all right, you know, I'll do better next time.
And I just imagine Dr. K rubbing his neck, massaging his neck while talking him down.
Right. He needed a little talking down, this guy. He was really a little high strung. But
do you deal with, like, male infertility as well?
Yeah. We treat men with infertility. Yeah.
Is that going up? Is that going up for men? Like, is that something that's changing?
You know, infertility rates are increasing slightly. Studies have shown there's been a decrease in quality of sperm in men in the United States. And I think people are having kids later. So the quality of sperm does diminish over time. So I think that, yes. So I would say the answer is yes, it is more common.
At what age do men start to, like, get less fertile?
Well, you know, men obviously, unlike women, can potentially have kids throughout their life cycle. But after the age of late 30s, 40s, you start to see a diminution in sperm, and you start to see a decrease in testosterone. So we deal a lot with men with low testosterone. That's a big specialty of ours. And men's testosterone start to decrease in their mid-30s, very slowly, but we see a lot of young guys with low testosterone. So
what is that? What is low testosterone? Because I've seen those commercials. That's kind of, those commercials are kind of in the punchline to me. Like they're like the type of commercials you see at a certain hour on certain networks, like low T. And it kind of like is a little bit funny to me. Is that a real issue? Like I always kind of think of that as like gas station, you know, penis pills. Like it doesn't really, I didn't really think of it as like a real thing.
No, testosterone is a real thing. So guys with low testosterone, I mean, what makes a man feel masculine and feel good and healthy? Well, a lot of things, but one of
my
it is...
My sports cars and my golf. No.
You got it. So when the testosterone level goes down, decreased muscle mass, increased body fat, decreased libido, decreased energy, problems with erections. And, you know, so guys are sitting around now, part of the last 6 months, everybody's gained, you know, a lot of people have gained 15 pounds, the COVID-15. So what happens when you have more body fat? Well, testosterone gets broken down into estrogen in fat. So more fat, less testosterone, more estrogen. So that's not good for your erections or your libido or for anything.
For your fertility.
Huh? Yeah, your fertility.
Well, this is all so interesting. Jordana, do you have any other questions? I think we
ran through a lot of them.
I know. Dr. Kamenetsky, we really appreciate you coming on and being kind of the official,
Dr. Love.
Dr. Love of the U Up podcast. We really appreciate it.
And I think it's great for our, especially for our male listeners, but also our female listeners to, you know, destigmatize talking about these kinds of issues. Because like you said, I think they're a lot more common than is known. And people are, you know, kind of feel shameful about talking about them when they shouldn't, especially if they're as common as you're saying. So we'd love to have you back if there's any other questions that we cannot answer about this topic.
All right, it's my pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. My daughter's out of her mind because she's a huge fan of you guys. And I answered that question for you a few months ago, I got so many emails from her, all her friends. I was a rock star.
That's great.
That's very cool for us to hear. And listen, we want everyone who's listening. If you want to have your own Dr. Love, go on Instagram at Dr. Jed Kamenetsky on Instagram. It'll be on my social and the U Up social and Jordana's, I'm sure. So go follow, go get involved. And he's in Midtown, University of Urology. And listen, if you're dealing with these things, you know, Dr. Kamenetsky is someone you can reach out to. You're doing virtual stuff, right?
Yeah, sure.
Love it.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's our Sunday special. Keep spreading the word on the Sunday special. We love doing these. And if you have an idea, if you're looking for someone to come on or a topic for us to go over that's a little out of left field and different, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. We'll be back next week.
U Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.